The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Welcome to Voice America Sports, Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Kudos to the National Football League and all those involved in Breast Cancer Awareness Month, all the pink cleats and wristbands and towels and hats. What a great gesture. And the least the NFL can do, raising money. Man, I've never seen, when we're talking about awareness, I don't care if it's awareness for prostate cancer for men, which there's a big awareness, you know, programs out there. I don't care if there's awareness to diabetes. I don't care if it's awareness to financial situations. I don't care if it's awareness to your insurance policy. I don't care what the awareness is. I'm not sure that I've ever seen more awareness for a program or a, you know, charity than I have for this. Now, Lance Armstrong's obviously cancer fight with the yellow bracelets and the Live Strong campaign, amazing. But this Susan G. Komen and this fight against breast cancer, which affects so many women and so many different lives, kudos to all those involved, but to the NFL and to the Susan G. Komen Foundation and all those. And what a great gesture. Hey, you know what? Maybe we should all wear pink at some time during this month. But let's just hope as we go along that the cancer awareness, I lost my dad to cancer, and let's just hope that the cancer, not only with the breast cancer, but other cancers, as we continue to raise money and for children's cancer and all that, that we can continue to create awareness for this awful, awful disease. So kudos to the NFL. And if you're out and about or making a donation or what have you, what a great foundation this is. And the awareness that is breast cancer now has never been more, you know, relevant or prevalent, either one of them. And so the NFL did a good thing yesterday. And you know what? And while you sit there and say, well, man, why are they wearing pink? And then you start to, oh, yes, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But then you start to think, man alive, you know what? Tough guys can wear pink too. And I thought it was an awesome gesture. So getting to the NFL, guys, and let's hope for the Susan G. Komen Foundation and for breast cancer and all those who have had family or somebody you know. We've all been touched in some way, shape, or form by somebody who had cancer. We just have a friend of a friend, a family member, what have you, and it's awful. So continue the awareness and kudos to all those involved who put pink on and to the Susan G. Komen Foundation and all those involved with that. We had an unbelievable weekend in sports. And let me just start this off since it's the most recent, the Ryder Cup, and people say, who cares about golf? Well, when it comes to a team sport, I actually do. The majors are great, but you know what? Even the majors, the Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA Championship, they don't compare to this. The Europeans won 14.5 to 13.5, came down to the last match. And you know, there are chokers in sports, and it's a word none of us want to hear, but every one of us is choked. Tiger Woods has choked. John Elway's choked. Joe Montana's choked. Johnny Unitas is choked. Reggie Jackson's choked. Pete Rose is choked. Alex Rodriguez is choked. CeCe Sabathia's choked. You go up and down. I don't care where you. Nolan Ryan's choked. They've all choked. Roger Clemens choked on and off the diamond. I mean, we've all choked. And what an unbelievable pressure situation these guys face. And yes, they're not getting paid for the Ryder Cup. This is for your country and to go out and beat the other guys. And we've beat them one time in 30 years on foreign soil. And they've won now four times in a row, the last four times, should I say, when I say four times in a row, on their home soil. The Europeans won 14.5, 13.5. You got to win 14.5 if you're the team that lost to retain the cup. the Americans, had they got a half point and got to 14, they would have retained the cup at 14. But they lost, and you know what? What a great thing! And a lot of you didn't get to see it because you're at work. But what a great comeback, Ricky Fowler, making four birdies in a row to challenge and come down at half a point. And then come down to Hunter Mahan and Graham McDowell, and the U.S. Open winner played better down the stretch. And I feel bad for Hunter Mahan. And, you know, we always give, I think he's a Texas resident and one hell of a golfer. And these guys are the best in the world at what they do. And if you've never put a golf club in your hand, and most of us have, it's tough enough to stand over a four-foot putt when you're playing with your buddies for a cigar and a cold beer, let alone when you're battling for your country and for your teammates, and 11 of your fellas and coaches and the rest of them are sitting there watching, and you got to make a play. And you know what? Sometimes you make them, and sometimes you don't. And with it tied and him down too, first of all, Graham McDowell on the 16th hole makes an amazing putt. Makes an amazing putt to give him a two-hole lead with two holes to play. And then they go to a par three, and Hunter Mahan duffs his tee shot with an iron that he could close his eyes and hit on the green 9 times out of 10. He just could. From 190-some yards with that iron in his hands, he's going to hit a green. And he hits it short, and then his next shot he does what every single one of us amateurs have ever done. Chili dip. Hit the ball about 4 feet, 5 feet. In his pressure situation as he'll ever face. And he choked. And I don't mean that in a bad way. He choked, and it happens. Gripped the club too tight, snap hook a football, gripped the laces too tight on a football, squeezed the bat too tight, try to overthrow as a pitcher. We all choke. And unfortunately, Hunter Mahan choked. And he chili dipped it, two bad shots in a row. They conceded as Graham McDowell just barely off the green when he putted. And, they conceded the final hole, and he got it closer, and the U.S. lost. But I feel bad for Hunter Mahan because he'll never forget this. All the majors, if he can win a major, if he can win, 15 other tournaments, he'll never forget the moment when he hit a tee shot on the 17th hole at the Ryder Cup and hit it short on a shot that he'll hit on the green 9 times out of 10. And then duffed his second shot where he would not hit that shot if you gave him a broomstick. Guys choke. Europeans win the Ryder Cup, and 14.5 to 13.5, and it's unfortunate because Hunter Mahan, who knows, it may affect his golf game for next 2 years. We've seen guys go into the tank. Ian Baker Finch goes into the tank, tries to change his swing, and Ian Baker Finch couldn't break 85 after winning the British Open. Happens. Let's hope for Hunter Mahan it doesn't. He's young. He's one hell of a player with guts, and to stand over that putt, I felt awful for him because he choked, as we all do. To the National Football League, the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't choke. You know I ripped kickers to shreds because they got one job to do. Pressure at that. But Josh Scobie came through now. 59 yards to win at the buzzer. What a great job by Jacksonville. But a lot going on, so I just wanted to throw that. And I'm going to tell you what, the AFC South now, Titans, don't know, leading the league in penalties when it comes to personal foul penalties. They get beat. Jacksonville stays tough, and they win and beat a good Indianapolis team, but not a great Indianapolis team. The Houston Texans survive, benching their star running back, comes back in and has an awesome day after being benched because he was late for a couple meetings last week. Great job by Gary Kubiak to sit his ass down. I would have, too. Ain't no guy bigger. It's a slap in your face unless your wife's having a baby or your girlfriend or one of your kids is sick or a family member is in an emergency situation. If your ass is late to a meeting, you're getting benched. And I don't care if it costs my team a win. It's a slap in the face to your 52 other teammates that you think it's okay, especially as a guy who's still young and rough, still the snotty-nosed kid. Not even sure if Arian Foster can shave yet, but one hell of a football player showing up late. No, sorry. And if it costs us a victory, then your butt's going to, then that's okay. I'll suffer that because ain't no player bigger than 52 people. And why is it that Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Donovan McNabb or Drew Brees or Adrian Peterson, why is it that these guys don't ever show up late? Guys who are proven veterans in this league have their ass to practice in meetings on time. Unless it's an emergency situation or a family situation, which a lot of times can be an emergency situation, there's no excuse. Arian Foster gets benched, comes back and rushes for like 130, catches a couple more passes, and they go on and win So this AFC South, the Texans win, but had to squeak one out because they had to hang on. Got after Gradkowski, got four sacks, a couple turnovers. Their secondary still isn't that good, but forced a couple turnovers, got after it, protected their passer to no sacks. We got a battle going on in the AFC South. The Colts are not dominant. The Colts are good. They are not great. Scobie's 59-yard field goal yesterday. The Colts battled all day long trying to win a football game, and Jacksonville hung in there. And the Colts are the least physical team of the four. Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Houston are all more physical than the Colts are. And that's going to end up costing the Colts because you can't just have Manning carry you the whole time. But Arian Foster show up on time. He got benched, but I'll give the young man credit. He got benched, and instead of pouting and being a punk, he stepped his butt up and played with rage and a chip on his shoulder. And lo and behold, in the end, his rushing game and the way he played was a difference in the football game, the AFC South. We're going to hit college football this day also. The Andrew Luck in Oregon, Stanford in Oregon. What a game. Texas OU, how good Bama is. I heard all week in Gator Nation, Gator Nation, Gator Nation got your ass kicked and don't belong in the top 10. Believe me, don't belong there. I'm not sure they did before that game. Oregon's the second best team in the country. You slice it any way you want. They are the second best team in the country. Ohio State's good but not impressive. This past week, and they're good, but they're not great. And Pryor may have lost his Heisman Trophy with his throwing performance, but he's still alive because he just is. But Robinson, Luck, there's a handful of guys that just jumped to the forefront. And Andrew Luck's the best quarterback in football. We'll talk about college football. And Tennessee, inexcusable. We'll get to that also. And USC's defense, led by Monty Kiffin, who I love, known Monty forever. What's going on there? Washington beats them at home. But the NFL is rocking now. And I'm going to tell you guys something. We'll get to the Ravens. The Lions hung in there. I got proud of the way they're playing this year. The NFC West, Vic and Kevin Cobb, the situation in Philadelphia. Chicago Bears, you were a humiliation last night for a 3-0 team. See, yeah, I know you beat the Packers, beat the Cowboys, and patting yourself on the and pounding your chest. I saw a bunch of guys who were afraid to play last night in the Meadowlands, or in New York, should I say. We all call it the Meadowlands still. Who were afraid to play. First of all, offensive line, have a little pride. And I know their offensive line coach, one of my dear friends, Mike Tice, and I know he doesn't teach the way that they played last night. It looked like grown men playing against fourth graders last night. They were pussified on the offensive line in Chicago last night. They were abused, spanked, slapped, and punished. Did you see it? Giving up 10 sacks, and you know what? I said it before, and you Bears fans got mad, and the Chicago Tribune wrote an article, and Chicago stations went crazy over an interview I gave earlier this year in the preseason. Jay Cutler's overrated, folks. Pouts, soft, not tough. He's got one strength, and that's the fact that he can throw the damn ball 150 miles an hour. And he's a front runner when things are going great. Jay Cutler at halftime was in, and they said he had symptoms and didn't come out the second half. I hope he's okay, and if he is, that's great. But, boy, that's a convenient halftime injury. I saw him get his head on the turf and all that. I get it. And the way they're watching concussions, if he's got a full concussion, I get it. But maybe it was good that he begged out of that one or that they wouldn't let him come back in because he may never recover. We're going to talk more Bears than Giants. I saw a bunch of guys who showed up in New York last night, took an ass-whooping, and didn't fight back. And you Chicago fans think that's a Super Bowl team? My ass, that's not even a division winner. At 888-346-9144, I'm Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, and a 3-0 Bears team showed their true colors last night, right here on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports, Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, talking about some of the amazing things that happen. And let's, since we rip him so bad, Josh Scobie deserves a high five, 59-yard field goal to beat the Colts. That's huge. I love the fact that Jack Del Rio had the balls to go for it and put him in that situation. Loved it. And my man Anthony from New York sent me a message over the weekend, which makes a good point. Now, I said, and I like Jim Caldwell, the coach of the Colts. Remember I said that I think college coaching can be more important than NFL coaching because it's about players, and it's about players on both levels. It really is. But college, at least you can babysit them and do all that. The pros, you've got to coach them and teach them. But you know what? If you don't have Peyton Manning on the Colts, they don't win six or seven games. And no offense, I can coach a team to a 1-15 record in Detroit or St. Louis last year, or 0-16 a couple years. I can coach a team to that. But I can tell you what, you got Peyton Manning or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, you can pretty much coach a team. You got a chance going into every game. And I love Jim Caldwell, and he's a Tony Dungy guy. But Anthony sent me an interesting message over the weekend. He said, have any thoughts on why Jim Caldwell would call a defensive timeout on 2nd-and-2 when Jacksonville is obviously not trying to push the issue in the end? Give him a free timeout, cost him the game. Perhaps Peyton should be head coach as well. Caldwell is nothing but a puppet. Now, I like Jim. But I will say this, it confuses me why you would put your team in that situation, call a defensive timeout, when Jacksonville's the one that's got to get themselves in position to win. Anthony makes a good point. Jack, the Colts are not dominant, folks. And I tell you what, I look at the Saints, they're not dominant either. They're barely getting by, but they are winning. So it's one of two things with these two teams. They're either going to click in because they're great quarterbacks and things are going to pick up the tempo, regardless, or they've both taken a step back. Even though the Saints are winning, they lost to Atlanta, but they're winning. But man, they do not look smooth doing it, and they're in trouble every time they line up. Their ass is in a battle. So keep an eye on that. But getting back to this Bears game, 888-346-9144. You give me a call. Have I been impressed with the Bears the first 3 weeks? Absolutely. Getting Urlacher back healthy. Julius Peppers is a beast. They force turnovers. That defense, if healthy, will be around the whole year. Hester is obviously explosive when they get him the ball on returns. They can run it once in a while. I'm going to tell you, and people are going to blame what happened last night on the offensive line. Folks, many of those sacks are not just O-line sacks. Cutler holds the ball way too long. That's a Mike Martz theory, and Mike and Cutler are eventually going to butt heads. I've said Mike Martz is better. I called Cutler overrated. I said Martz will make Cutler better, and he will. But believe me, they both have major egos. Both are overly aggressive, so they'll have great things happen to them, and they'll have things that don't happen great to them. Trust me. We'll have both. I'm going to get to Anthony in just a second. You'll have both with Martz and Cutler. But I'm going to tell you now, you can't hold the ball that long. And then he started watching the pass rush instead of his coverage. He started to play scared. It was convenient now, and probably fortunate for him that he had the mild concussion, and whatever the results turn out, that Jerry Angelo, their GM, said, told Andrea Kramer that he had symptoms, so it was best to keep him out. Fine. They'd have sacked 15 times had he played it and stayed in the game. They'd have 15 sacks. Hold the ball 12 seconds. I mean, give me a break. So I'll say it again. Cutler's good when things are going well. Great arm. Not tough. Powder. Finger pointer. And I don't even think – I loved Cutler when he came out of Vanderbilt to Denver because I thought he had a different mentality. And then he all of a sudden turned diva, and I don't get it. Now, I'm not on his team. This is from listening to him and watching him and watch his mannerisms on the field. Jay Cutler is not a Super Bowl quarterback. And Bears fans, I'm telling you, you ain't winning one with him as your quarterback this year. I don't care that you're 3-1. Cuss at me. If you want to, get on this phone and cuss at me. The Chicago Bears are not a great team. They've got the makings of a great defense. They've got some explosive plays. They've got a quarterback that's got maybe the best arm in football in Cutler. But the best arm in football ain't winning you a Super Bowl. And you saw last night exactly why. Boy, you talk about a team that lost guts last night. That was as humiliating a performance on a Monday night football, on a Sunday night football game, or on a night game, or on any game I've seen in a while. That would if I'm the Giants, I'm snickering at the line of scrimmage, laughing at the Bears. It was ole. Good gracious. Just, hey, come on in. Go hit my quarterback. And quarterback just stand there and start looking at the and flick balls out of bounds. I mean, stupid, just dumb stuff. So the Chicago Bears are either going to respond, and Cutler will probably come back in a week or two and have a great game, fine. But you know what? I think the Bears are more like you saw last night than the Bears are more like the Super Bowl champion Bears. Sorry, they ain't that good. And I thought it was a humiliating performance. And that the guys up front and the pass protection as well as the quarterback ought to be ashamed of themselves watching what they watched. I'll tell you what, if I'm Lovie Smith, you got two choices today. Do you really want to show that game on film? Do you want your players to be that humiliated? Because you might ruin their self-esteem for the rest of the year. The Chicago Bears got their ass kicked. Third graders, fourth graders versus grown men last night. And the grown men were the Giants. The Giants have played awful the last 2 weeks. They responded. The Bears obviously thought they were better than they were and went on and pissed down their leg on Sunday Night Football. Let's get to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on? Welcome to Voice America Sports.
Sean, how are you? Great show again. Great start.
Thanks.
I appreciate that you read my little comment there about Caldwell.
Yeah.
The calling a timeout. I'm not a Caldwell fan. Every time I see him on the sideline, he's just standing there, doesn't say anything. So, but when he called that timeout, it wasn't like they stuffed him on first down and it was second and long. It was second. Like you said, you put in your defense, who hasn't stopped them all day, and Jacksonville's essentially happy going to overtime. And you gave him an extra timeout, and then granted, a 59-yarder beat you, but you put your team in a tough spot. I think, you put yourself in a position to lose rather than win.
Right.
And that was that.
You're exactly right. And as a coach, your responsibility as a head coach, you hire great assistants, you got a great quarterback, all these things. You've got to give your team the best chance to win. And the decisions a head coach makes is when to go for it on fourth down,
right,
when to call a timeout, when we kick a field goal as opposed to going for it, when we're at the one-yard line, all those things. And you've got to be prepared for every situation, and I thought it was the wrong call.
Right.
And I don't think you put a team in. It isn't exactly like Jacksonville scared us a whole lot of people explosively offensively. They played better yesterday.
Yeah.
But they're not one of those teams you go, oh, my gosh. But you know what? They're more physical than the Colts. And the Colts opened up a door. Smart NFL teams, when you open up a door a little bit, kick it open. You know what I'm saying? They open it the rest of the way. And you gave a good field goal kicker a chance to swing his foot through it by using a timeout, slowing it down, putting them in position. Because you know what? The clock was a definite factor at the end. Because in the end, how do we know there's even time on the clock to kick that ball? You know what I'm saying, Anthony?
Right. No, I think if he doesn't call that timeout, the clock runs out. They only had one timeout, and the clock would have ran out.
And you may not get a chance to line your kicker up in the end anyway. So, hey, it was enough pressure 59 yards to make it. Can you imagine if you had to run him out there without the clock stopped? I mean, that's a tough situation for a kicker to be in. And now he got all of it, and congratulations to him. But the Colts laid an egg yesterday. There's no question about it.
Oh, and I thought also, I'm glad you brought it up on the show. The NFL did a great job with the whole breast cancer awareness
thing. Pretty amazing, isn't it, man?
It is. Cancer hit close home to me. I lost my dad 3 years ago. My girlfriend was diagnosed with leukemia last year, so it's hit real close to me. But one team that I noticed that didn't wear the pink was the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, shame on them. They were the only team not to put any pink on, sidelines, on the field. I was kind of disappointed in that.
We didn't see anybody with pink cleats at all yesterday in Baltimore.
The Baltimore Ravens were the only team not to wear pink yesterday.
Now, see, I got a problem with that.
I do. I see a big problem.
I got a major problem, and I'm sorry about your girlfriend. How is she doing, by the way?
She's actually in remission, doing fantastic.
That's awesome, and I'm sorry, but I lost my dad 3 years ago to cancer also, so I feel your pain, my man, and best wishes and prayers, and that she stays in remission. And you know what? As I'm watching that game, there was pink everywhere. I don't know why. Maybe you get so blend into it and watching it, get caught up in the game. I could have swore I thought I saw some of the Ravens. Jim Harbaugh with the pink. Maybe I'm losing mine. I know Mike Tomlin had it on, and a bunch of Steelers.
Right.
And you know what? I'm gonna go back and look at that, because if they didn't, they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Because I did, because I heard it, and a friend of mine brought it up to me, and then I went on the computer actually looking through the photo gallery from the game, and just the Steelers wearing the pink. I mean, Harbaugh might have been wearing it on the sideline, but no, I even saw it. Ray Lewis. You know, most of the players had the pink billed caps. Ray Lewis is wearing a regular Ravens cap on the sideline.
You know what? I think a lot of us, because we just assume everybody's got it on, and so much Pittsburgh pink yesterday.
Yes.
That maybe they didn't pay, and that's terrible, because, you know, that's something that needs to be pointed out. And I'm going to go back and look at it, too, to make sure, and that's something we'll talk about throughout the week. Anthony, I appreciate you pointing that out, man.
And one more point.
And I watched that whole damn game, which is hard to believe.
Yeah, no. One more point. How awful is the NFC West?
Anthony, I said yesterday, and you probably saw my post, that there's never been a worse division.
That's awful.
Anthony, I can go back. You could give me. I mean, if you can get to 8 wins in that division, you pretty good chance you're going to win it.
Probably.
Pretty good chance you're going to win it. See, here's now. How pathetic is that? You're going to get three teams in the NFC North: the Vikings, Bears, and Packers. You're going to get, and then somebody's going to miss out with a better record than maybe two or three teams going to miss out with a better record than the division winner on that punk ass division in the West. It's embarrassing.
I think the team I root for in that division, because it's the only team that looks like it plays with any sort of heart and brains, are the Rams.
Yeah, and you know what? And Bradford, boy, I'll tell you what, shocked me. I mean, I know he's a good player, but how quickly he's become a good player on what we thought was a very below-average team. And Jim Spagnuolo, the former defensive coordinator of the Giants, has got him playing with energy. And you know what? That's
exactly
all you can ask when you're outmanned at times, and they are outmanned, is to play with some energy and some enthusiasm. And unfortunately for the rest of the division right now, the Seahawks offense is pathetic. The 49ers don't know how to win. And and the Arizona Cardinals are, you know, Kurt Warner leaves that team, and Anquan Boldin, that team went to hell in a handbasket. They got embarrassed by San Diego. So you're exactly right. The Rams got it. Now, you could still win the division, I guess, if you're the 49ers, only two games out at 0-4. But you're right. At least the Rams play with some heart and some guts, and I ain't seen it from the rest of the division.
No, I mean, you take Seattle. Seattle goes on the road, and it is just terrible once they leave home.
Oh, yeah, because that 12th man in Seattle, those fans are special. But I'll tell you what, their offense is embarrassing themselves, and they're an awful road team. And if they could play all 16 at home, they'd be a playoff team.
Yeah. How long before you think Charlie Whitehurst gets a chance in Seattle?
I think it's going to happen this year. There's a reason why Pete Carroll brought him from San Diego as the backup.
Right.
And, you know, when he was actually the third quarterback in San Diego.
Yes.
They went in and paid him good money. It's only a matter of time, especially if in the next couple of weeks Matty doesn't pick this thing up for the Seahawks. You'll see them make the transition and slowly start to get Charlie some work. And if he doesn't finish playing this year, I fully believe by the time the season starts next year, he'll be the starting quarterback in Seattle.
All right. Thanks
Anthony,
a lot, Sean.
My best to your girlfriend, and I always appreciate you, my man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sean. Have a good one.
Thank you. Great man. And you know what? Baltimore, we get so caught up in the game. Did we really miss them wearing pink? Bears humiliated themselves. NFC West sucks. Thanks for Anthony. I was going to point that out. Oh, they're awful, and it's a humiliating division. Sam Bradford's got game. Can he stay healthy and not take a punishment? Because I'm going to tell you what, that is a poised young man that you Sooner fans should be proud of. We got more to talk about. College football, so, and Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb. Kevin Cobb played scared yesterday, too. Oh, my, the NFL parity rules, and the Kansas City Chiefs are the only unbeaten team in the National Football League right here. This is Voice America Sports. We are walking and talking unfiltered. Join in at 888-346-9144.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Amazing end to some football games yesterday, and we're talking about the Ravens-Steelers. And if the Ravens, in fact, didn't wear pink, as my good man Anthony said, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ought to be proud of the way they came back and won the game, but they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Great throw, great run. I mean, now, if you want to learn how to run a route, you're a young man watching, want to learn how to run a route, or if you're a pro wanting to learn how to run a route, the way T.J. Houshmandzadeh put that move on at the end of the football game, on that little boom, little dip and go, to the end zone, and the great throw by Flacco. Great, great stuff. Great stuff. That game was all but done and won by Pittsburgh. Going to be 4-0. Getting a bye week with Big Ben coming back. That is an unbelievable, hell of a football game. And if you had a faint heart, that was a wrong game to watch, because you can get yourself hurt in your own living room watching that game. They were thumping and bumping and getting after it. Pittsburgh Steelers, boy, you guys got guts now. And they do. Boy, they got big balls. I look at their attitude, Polamalu and Ferrier, and just the way they grind and pound, and you know, they're just tough, man. That's why they're always going to be around. They're just tough. One guy leaves, another guy comes in. James Harrison, they're nasty. They're nasty, and they don't care who their quarterback is. They don't care what goes on. They just play. And they had a day. They were in position to win. Unfortunately, gave Baltimore a punted bad punt. Gave Baltimore another chance, and Flacco capitalized. Joe Flacco will continue to progress. He didn't have a great game yesterday. He played good. He will continue to progress, I promise you. But that confidence builder throw to T.J. Houshmandzadeh, boy, what an addition having Houshmandzadeh and Bolden on the same team now after you couldn't – I mean, that team never had these type of receivers in all their years. Derek Mason's been their best. This is the best they've had. And Todd Heap, obviously, is a tight end. But great throw by Flacco, but the route was set up beautifully, and a great job by T.J. Houshmandzadeh, selling the route, being patient on selling it, even though, because when pressure's on, you can speed up your route, not give a good fake because you're worried, is your quarterback going to get hit? He sold the route. That's called being well-taught and well-coached, which Jim Harbaugh does for that team. Baltimore Ravens gutted one out, and that's going to be that is a tough division, too. Browns get the Bengals yesterday. T.O. had a big game. They threw the ball all over the lot, but the Browns put it on them, man. That's exactly why Cincinnati is who they are. They look good for a couple weeks. You're like, oh, the Bengals are coming back, but bam, then they do this. This is your Cincinnati Bengals, folks. Your dad's Cincinnati Bengals, your uncle's Cincinnati Bengals, your Cincinnati Bengals, and my Cincinnati Bengals. Look good, a couple weeks, boom, go in the tank. Look good a week, go in the tank for two. That's them. That's them. Baltimore, tough, tough game. To the Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Redskins. And Philly fans, I stand up and gave you an ovation yesterday, too. What a great way. All the rumors that he was going to get booed, Donovan McNabb. But what a way to make a guy who spent 11 years there and getting you to five NFC championship games. What a great greeting for him. He didn't play great. He didn't play great, but they played well enough to win. Donovan didn't. But they played well enough to win, but he didn't play great. But you know what? Sometimes you got to win ugly, and that's what they did on the road in a hostile environment. But you Philly fans ought to stand up and be proud of yourself. You take so much flack from other people. Great class by you. That's why I love you, man. I love Philly fans because they don't, you know what? They may go against the grain a lot. They're smart fans and they're passionate, but they greeted Donovan McNabb the way they should have, with a standing ovation. That being said, it's obvious to me that Michael Vick is really, really valuable to that football team. And I don't care. And it was still, when you post that on Facebook, the people about the dog, I mean, we go over this every week, the bitter people about what happened to Mike, and I understand dog lovers and all, I get it. But we're past that. He served his time. There, and I'm not even going to go there anymore. If you guys want to hate him because that's your business, I don't care. I don't even think about it anymore. He served his time. Hopefully has repented of it. And I know when you go to jail for something like that, in prison, should I say, that ain't jail, that's prison. And come back out and change him as a football player and I think as a person, judging from the way he talks. Game completely turned around when he took that shot in the rib cage, the chest shot, by getting sandwiched down there by the goal line. They lost movement. They lost what becomes the most indefensible weapon in the league because people do not want to defend a guy who can run and pass. And he's a better passer now than he ever was before he went into prison. Better hope he gets back soon. Kevin Cobb won the starting job, I think, based on attrition and Donovan leaving. Was just, you had to put Cobb in there. He's your draft pick. He's waiting. It's his turn. Good arm. I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance to be good. But he played scared yesterday. Afraid to throw the ball down the field. The best throw Kevin Cobb made was at the end of the game in the end zone and went right down the receiver's chest. Ball should have been caught for the victory. Right in the back of the end zone. That's the most aggressive throw he made. It hit his receiver right in the chest. Nobody touched the ball. Ball hits you in the chest. It's a good idea to try and catch it, especially when you know that it's a catch you need. But no aggressiveness. Maybe the fact that they didn't push the ball down the field, the receiver was so shocked that he didn't realize it hit him in the chest. But Kevin Cobb played scared. Kevin Cobb, and you know what? And you never like to hear that as a quarterback, but he did. I saw a handful of quarterbacks play scared. Just two in particular, Cutler and Cobb. A C and a K. Played scared. Maybe Cobb after the concussion coming in and, you know, the Michael Vick. That team is, you got some boo birds out. That team is completely different energy-wise, play-calling-wise, execution-wise. Ugly game, wasn't very fun, didn't live up to the hype. Vick out in the first quarter. But I got news for you. Michael Vick comes back. Kevin Cobb, you can't play Kevin Cobb. You just can't right now. He's still not ready. And I believe the Eagles have to know that. We got the Pats-Dolphins tonight. I mean, this is a huge game. Huge game in the East with the Jets still winning. Huge game in the East because, you know, the Pats have been beat by the Jets. Dolphins have been beat by the Jets, playing inside the division. You've got remember, was it last year, the year before, the Wildcat came out and gashed in the opening game of the season? It might have been last year, if not 2 years ago. I can't even remember. Where Ronnie Brown, they rushed for like 300 and some yards on Belichick's team and humiliated him. Yeah. Bill doesn't forget. He's got a long memory. Now, Tom Brady plays great on Sunday Night Football. He's just special. Chad Henne's upped his game. I mean, it's going to be a fun game. I picked the Patriots to win. One coming off a 38-30 win against Buffalo, I think it was, or whoever the Patriots beat last week. And the Dolphins coming off a tough loss to the Jets. But I like these Dolphins. And they're on the come, man. They're on their way up. It's going to take a really good effort. And I still, with Kevin Falk out, that third down package of the New England Patriots hurts. Because I thought he was the most underrated third down running back out of the backfield in football. It's going to be a good game tonight. I took the Patriots. I'm not overly comfortable with the pick. I was comfortable with my picks yesterday, taking the Baltimore Ravens, although it turned out I didn't expect it to be like that in the end, and against the point spread, taking the New York Giants. I helped a friend make some money yesterday. I was comfortable with both those picks. I don't believe in the Chicago Bears. Still don't. Sorry, don't. And all they did yesterday was validate it. And Detroit Lions, pat yourself on the back. I'm proud of the way you play. That Detroit Lions team's coming, folks, as well as the St. Louis Rams. They are building, and they are bringing it. And the Green Bay Packers had all they could handle at home. And the St. Louis Rams, obviously with a win, have given, with back-to-back wins now, are giving people all they can handle. Maybe Sam Bradford was the first pick of the draft, worthy of it. Impressed with that young man's poise. So the NFL, we know choke happens. Unfortunately, Ryder Cup, we lost today. And the NFL, so many sided, and I can't hit them all in an hour. So we'll be hitting them all week long. Some of the things that are going on in some of these divisions and some of these teams. But the Chicago Bears, that's the lasting thought we have from yesterday's football. Whew! Man, I'm not sure if I'm Lovie Smith. Do I show that film or do I not? Do I show my team and beat their self-worth into the ground so bad that my offensive linemen don't know who to block and my quarterback doesn't know how to get it out of his hand, and when he does, it's, awful. And then, or do I not show it and just say, they know how bad they played, let's move forward to the next game? Going to be interesting to find out. College football, folks. You saw another great weekend. It's obvious to me that there's two teams that are, well, one team that was ranked higher earlier that dropped out and is going to obviously drop further. The Texas Longhorns are a ways away, folks. This is a rebuilding year. A lot of young, good players. One of my son's high school friends and a guy I played against, Jim Jeffcoat, his son, Jackson Jeffcoat, going to be a special player, playing a lot as a freshman. Stupid penalties end up changing momentum of the football game and ended up costing them. And he's a freshman and he's eager, but you can't make those penalties. But they're building something because they're young. But they're not. They're just a good team. There's two or three teams in the Big 12 that can beat them. Texas is going to get Oklahoma State's better than them. Nebraska's better than them. I'm talking about in either division. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Nebraska, they're all better than Texas. While the game, the score was a little closer in the end than you thought, Oklahoma dominated that game, and Texas is a ways away, as is Garrett Gilbert. This is a rebuilding year. They're not going anywhere. They'll go to a mid-level bowl. They're okay. And Florida, Gator Nation. I respect Florida, and I think they're a wonderful program, coached by a wonderful guy. But it's obvious that not only Bama, full-grown men, the two best running backs in the country, or two of the best three, play on the same team. Richardson would start anywhere else in America. Anywhere else in America. And he's got to give way to Mark Ingram. What a good problem to have. And McElroy doesn't lose as a quarterback, and there's no question. And just Saban's the best coach in college football. You can slice. And I'm telling you what, old Chip Kelly in Oregon ain't far behind. He's damn good, too. Spurrier, all those guys. But Chip Kelly knows how to coach. I'm going to get to that game in a second when we close this show out, because that's worthy of a full segment itself. 888-346-9144 is the phone number. SeanSalz@gmail.com. I'm amazed at how physical and pounding Alabama is. Florida was never in that game. Florida was never going to be in that game. And all the talk, Gator Nation, they're going to beat Alabama. No, that team did not belong in the top 10 before this weekend, and they're sure as hell not in it now. Nor should they be. Another rebuilding team, young, but immature, stupid mistakes. They just had a team bring their lunch pail and beat them into submission. And when you got the best wide receiver and two of the best three running backs in America, you're pretty good. Julio Jones and Ingram and Richardson. Pretty good team. And a great leader at quarterback and the best coach in college football. You're not going to lose many. I don't see them getting beat this year until possibly a national title game. And if Ohio State slips up against a Wisconsin team that did not play well, against an Iowa team that won, but people did good defense, but jury's still out on their offense and their protection, Ohio State's still got to play them both, and Ohio State didn't look overly good this weekend against the Illini. The two best teams in America, one resides in Eugene and the other resides in Tuscaloosa. We're going to talk about that and who is the best quarterback in college football. We'll debate that too, coming right up here on Voice America Sports. Man alive. Are you guys sleeping on Oregon? Alabama? Congratulations, you're going to be playing for your second national title, as long as you don't fall asleep on the field. And I mean literally fall asleep. That's how good Bama is. This is Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered, wrapping this hour up. Soon to be 2 hours right here on Sean Salisbury Unfiltered.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. Pittsburgh is out of here.
From high high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, yes, right here, winding up this hour. You can find me on twitter.com/SeanUnfiltered. You can find me there. You can find me on Facebook at Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the fan page. Tell all your friends. And I'm going to have a contest, and it's going to have to do with Facebook and Twitter, that I'm going to allow you to come on and once a week, depending on what you do and how many hits and the question we ask, I'll put the contest together. I'm going to have a guest host. I'm going to have a fan who thinks they know what they're talking about and wants to be a part of it that's going to come on and guest host with me, and we'll do that every week. We're going to have some contests, and I'll come up with the reason why to have it, but we're going to start building this thing to the point where it's off the hook. And when we get 2 hours, it's going to be off the hook. That's going to be the best on the planet because we're unfiltered, and we don't talk BS. We talk the truth right here. And we'll do it every single time. You don't have to worry about somebody kissing somebody's ass because they didn't play good or telling Cutler that he's okay, it's going to be fine. You know what? I thought he copped out last night. And you'll get that on Unfiltered. It's nothing personal. I don't know Jay personally. I'm talking about what I saw on the field. I'm sure he's a good guy. I'd buy him a beer. And if he said, how'd I play? I'd say, you sucked. Okay? Where do I rank in the top 10? You're not in the top 10. Okay? I don't have a problem with it. Heck, got me in a fight with Albert Haynesworth damn near one time, and Albert and I ended up becoming really good friends over it. I'll tell you that story here on Voice America Sports and Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, if you hadn't heard it. I'll get to that one. He asked who the best nose guard in football was a couple of years ago. I told him it was Jamal Williams at the time in San Diego, and he was. And that led to pushing, shoving, and almost fisticuffs. Yeah, he outweighs me, but damn, I'll bring a lunch pail, and you better fight me. But Albert and I, later that night, became buddies and have been since. But it was a fun night. But if you're going to ask me the truth, I'm going to tell it, and that's what you're going to get on this show. And it's never personal, and it's never vicious. It's just fact. Whether you agree with it or not, it's your opinion. But that's why we do this. So I'm going to find me a guest host that comes on. You fans that love it so much, you better spread the word. Sean Salisbury, you know, get on Facebook and go to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered fan page and Twitter. Tell all your friends, twitter.com/SeanUnfiltered. No need in the last name on the Twitter. Three college stories here before we wrap this up. USC's defense, coached by Monty Kiffin, who was one of my favorite guys, was on our Minnesota staff when I was there. Very good. Now, this is one of two things. Either USC can't handle the scheme, or USC is just so undid, or they just don't have players. And I have a hard time believing that they don't have players. But then again, the undisciplined, you watch them. They get beat by Washington at home, missing tackles, making stupid plays, and that's not a Monty Kiffin defense. So something's got to give here. And USC's defense, forget the probation, USC's defense would have kept them out of a big BCS bowl game anyway. They're not that good. That offense has to carry them on their titty the whole time. And unfortunately, the milk's going to run dry if they keep trying to do that and can't stop anybody. Jake Locker's a hell of a football player. Tough, nasty linebacker playing quarterback with quarterback skills. That's a pretty damn good quarterback skills, speed of a running back, and the size of a linebacker, that's pretty damn good. And the toughness of a guy who would knock you in the mouth, an MMA fighter. Pretty good combination for Jake Locker. They just don't have a whole lot of great players. That's one damn good football player, but they put it on SC, and SC's defense blows. And I'm a USC alum. Got to get fixed. LSU, overrated. Hey, I'm sorry to tell you, they're okay. They're not a great football team. They're a good football team. It's going to show. Their schedule's going to show. They're going to get beat by a few teams along the way here. I'm telling you, two or three losses are on LSU's schedule. They're not that good. Thank goodness they have that crowd. The best place to play in the world on a Saturday night is LSU, playing in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. Doesn't get any better than that, and what an advantage it is. But that is not a great football team. And Tennessee, Derek Dooley, I like what you're doing, the enthusiasm you've instilled, the keeping teams in games. But that is inexcusable for your defensive coordinator and your football team. And I'm sure Tennessee's glad to have Lane Kiffin out of there. I understand that part. And Derek Dooley's energetic. You cannot, after your quarterback for LSU lays the ball on the ground and doesn't get the gun snap, turn right around as Tennessee because you got 13 men on the field and you don't know how to substitute in a pressure situation? Inexcusable. That's called preparation. You weren't prepared. They didn't only have 12 men on the field. They had 13. I understand if a guy's running off, doesn't get off, and, you know, that's part of the, he's fatigued. It's fine. That is a situation that falls directly on the coach's shoulders for not having them ready to go. And it ended up costing him a football game. Now you wonder, well, was the defensive, was the quarterback for LSU shocked when he was in the gun, and that's why he didn't get the gun snap? Because he looked up and saw 13 players on the field when he laid it on the ground? Maybe. Trying to read a defense saying, this doesn't look normal. Looking at a chalkboard and on tape, isn't there supposed to play with 11, not 13? Well, they laid it on the ground, but there's 13 players on the field, not 12. And that's inexcusable by Tennessee to allow that to happen, to cost yourself an SEC game. Excuse me. Can't do that. Get beat the right way. Don't get beat with unforced errors. And that's exactly what that was, an unforced error. And it cost Tennessee a game because you know what? 11 men on the field, they'd have won a football game. But they didn't, and that falls squarely on the preparation of the coaches, and that's on the coaches. Don't care how you slice it. Got to know what defense to get in. You got to know when time is delayed, especially, you know, it's down there, you're trying to get situated, you're on the goal line. You got to know these situations. You work on them all every day in practice. And if you're not working on them in practice, then you're not preparing your team right. Now, the game of the weekend to me was Stanford-Oregon going in. I remember one of my very best, well, my best friend in the world, I picked Stanford to lose. I picked Oregon. He picked Stanford. When it was 21-3, I got a text saying, told you I know my football, talking about him, and he does. Great friend. I said, don't go away yet. And then Oregon hangs 50-plus. Now, there's a couple sidebars of this. First of all, whether you're Detroit's not going to draft a quarterback next year because Stafford's a player. Don't know about San Francisco with Alex Smith. Buffalo's going to draft a quarterback. Cleveland's going to draft a quarterback. Arizona's going to draft a quarterback. The first two picks of the draft, I think Lux, a junior, are going to be Jake Locker and Andrew Luck. But I will tell you this, the most poised and best quarterback in the country as far as just the way he plays is Oliver Luck's son, Andrew Luck. Man alive, is he taught well. Not only by his dad, but by Harbaugh and the rest of them. Boy, is he well-coached and well-taught. Poised, tall, moves, accurate, big arm, does it all. The best thing they've sniffed at Stanford since John Elway. Now, Locker's going to get drafted first because of what he brings, I believe, if I'm a GM. But in the off-season workouts, will tell me something. But if I'm a GM or a scout for a team or a head coach for a team, and I need a quarterback, I'm going after both of those guys. Luck and Locker. But it'll be Locker first. But Andrew Luck's the best quarterback in America right now and deserves major Heisman consideration. Chip Kelly, your Oregon football team is special. They're going to give Bama all they can handle if this continues because Oregon can score in a second, and they'll stop you too. They don't give up many second-half points, as Stanford found out, as every other team in the Pac-10. Pac-10's the best conference. Stanford and Oregon aren't going away. And when all is said and done, it may be Oregon staring at Alabama because right now Oregon's the second-best team in America, and their athleticism is the only thing that can give Alabama trouble. Chip Kelly, you got it going on. You folks in Eugene, man, was that a ball game. We'll talk more about that the rest of this week. I love the Oregon Ducks, and I'm a USC alum, but Chip Kelly, you want to talk about balls? Onside kicks, going for it, challenging, options, throwing it. That man knows how to coach some football. You coaches want an offensive clinic, take your ass to Oregon in the spring. I'm Sean Salisbury. Thanks for joining me. It's about a week long of football. We'll talk baseball playoffs tomorrow as they're about to kick out and get underway. Right here on Voice America Sports, I'm Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.